We left off yesterday just trying to understand what the justification is to recite a bracha after one has technically fulfilled the mitzvah of the Tzilas Lulav. The whole thrust of Pesach of Dav Zayin is called a mitzvah of Baruch Lema V'lasi Yalson. So how in the world could Chazal accept this idea of reciting a bracha but you're already Yaitzei? So Taka Samishayim said, you can't. Samishayim said that you're not really supposed to do it. And in Rechanami, the correct way of planning the mitzvah of Tfilas Lulav is to recite the bracha before you technically Yaitzei. You have to hold the lulav upside down, etc. The Gemara does talk about the possibility of reciting the bracha afterwards. So we said yesterday, according to some Rishonim, that's a bit the evidence, because maybe Kol HaMitzvos V'Varach Lehem Avolos Yasson Zon L'Chadchila. But the read didn't seem to go down. The Taisen Ar Sugya Pesach Dav Zayin seemed to understand the Gemara Kipshuto that there's nothing you have to do before it. Just pick up the Lulav and Ezra, you and Yaitzei, and we're perfectly okay with making a bracha. Al Svach what? Al Svach that I knew him. We had a lot of, we spent a lot of time yesterday trying to understand which Nanuim is even talking about. But Achareik Echos HaKol tells us was talking about something which is post the Dagbe Nafakbe. So what in the world is the justification to recite a bracha? Svach, something that's not really part of the mitzvah anyway. It's not really ma'akim to the mitzvah for sure. So how do we understand this Taisus? So Taisus in Sukkot of Lamatesim and Aleph gives us a little bit of an inkling. And Taisus uses a lashon that since the mitzvah hasn't completed yet, so therefore it's okay. And then Taisus goes one step further. Taisus a chiddush gadol. This part of the Taisus doesn't appear in Pesachim Dav Zayin. It only appears in Sukkot Daf Lametes. Even if a person finished the nanuim, you could vaita. You could still. It's okay. You could still make a bracha. Right? Al smach the fact that you're still spazzing around with the Levin Esrik, and the meal walking around with the Levin Esrik is also justification to recite a bracha based on what? So Taisus references the famous Gemara in Sukkot Daf Memalef by the Anshei Shalai. He used to walk around town all day, can't do live in Ezra. So we have a few things to understand a little bit, to comprehend a little bit this Taisus. We want to understand what that means, because I'm walking around the streets of Yishalayim, therefore I can make a bracha on that. That's Vaitakot Osaziyosan. And even for Askvar, if you really believe that that's true, is that the same kind of Avodas Yosan as the Nanuim? Or maybe Nanuim is a little bit better. Maybe Nanuim is a little bit different. And again, if you notice, although Taisus in Sukkah does quote both the Nanuim as being a justification for Avodas Yosef and just spazzing around the streets, Taisus in Pesachim doesn't mention the second part. Taisus in Pesachim only mentions the Nanuim, implying that maybe Nanuim, yes, but just walking around the street a little bit extra maybe doesn't suffice. So we have to really fine-tune a little bit. What is this idea, the Anshei Shalayim spazzing around the street, somehow that's considered to be enough of a grounds to justify a bracha? Why should Taisus in Pesachim believe that's true? And what the nature of that halach is? And why is that maybe Taisus in Pesachim didn't accept it? So Rabbi say, let's understand what that even means. I mean, he's in the mitzvah already. And now it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to visit somebody, pick a cholim. So the Gemara says, I just want to spazier with the lulav around. I'm going to take a walk with my wife. I'm walking around with my lulav. But boss, what am I accomplishing? What is the goal here? So if you want to tell me that there's no halachic goal here altogether, this is just like some, you know, extra meta halacha kind of a story, and there's really nothing to be gained up in din by walking around with the Levin Esrog. So it's very hard to understand what Taisus is talking about. So why does that justify a recitation of a bracha? How can we defend making a bracha al smach some extra halachic ambition? So clearly Taisus understood something is happening here. There is something to be gained. Now again, we can't be guilty of overkill. We cannot say you aren't yotzi yet, because that's ridiculous. The Gemara says it's agbe nafik. So what does that mean? Is this something that's meaningful in halacha or not? If it's not, then how could this be used to defend making a bracha? If it is meaningful, so then based on what is it meaningful? You're already yaitzei. So perhaps this idea that Taisus is invoking, this model of the Anshei Shalayim walking around, maybe it can be understood in light of a very famous Rambam that appears not in the context of lulav, in the context of matzah. The famous Rambam, Vavalach Aleph, and Luchas Chometz in Matzah. When the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Zeseh Lechol Matzah V'Lechol Mishah Asa B'Nisan U'Mishah Ochel Kezayis Yotzah. The Rambam introduces the mitzvah like he does Kedarka B'Kodesh. Remember, the Rambam begins talking about a mitzvah. He gives you the basic tzura, the essence of the mitzvah, Tavtis HaDvarim. And then he goes on to talk about the details about the mitzvah. So if you were writing the Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and you want to get to the real essence of what the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is, how would you write it? I would have written as follows. Mitzvah's essay, Lechol Kezayis Matzah, B'Lach Mishos B'Nis. There is a mitzvah to eat a kezayis. Why would I have put that into the definition? Because the Rambam is defining matzah, that's the chefza that you have to use. The Rambam is describing the time, B'Lach Mishos B'Nis. And the Rambam is defining the amount you have to eat, which is a kezayis. Those are all integral components as to what makes up the mitzvah. Then the Rambam is going to go on and tell you, what is matzah? What is matzah? It's not matzah. Then he has to go on and tell you what's called matzah shmura, what's called matzah shira, lechamayni. He's going to go through the details of that. And then he's going to go through the details and tells you, when is lech mishos v'nisan? Is it the whole night? Is it part of the tuchatzais? Tosef HaShabbos, etc. There's a lot to talk about. And then the Rambam's going to tell you, how do you cheshbon out of kezayis? Does kezayis count the parts inside your mouth, outside your mouth, a big kezayis, small kezayis? Each one of the major components has subcategories, has to be elaborated upon. That's the derech of the Rambam. Like the Rambam, the Moshe, beginning of the Shaifa, the Rambam writes, mitzvah says in the Shema called Truas, the Rosh Hashanah. So over here, the Rambam left out the word kezayis in his formulation of the Ikar HaMitzvah. He only gets the kezayis almost like an afterthought. The very end of the halach, before he signs off, from Yotah Halach HaBeis, the Rambam writes, by the way, Mishachah kezayis yotzah. Yotzah is almost like a little bit of a lush, like, okay, the Mr. Yotzah, you're Yotzah, okay, check, I was Yotzah. Kezayis is check, I was Yotzah, because that's the mitzvah, that's the essence of the mitzvah, lechol kezayis, tamachim kezayis. So the Nitziv, had a famous beer in this Rambam, but the Nitziv writes that the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, on Leil HaSeder, is just to eat matzah. The mitzvah says lechol matzah. The more the merrier. The more you eat matzah, the better it is. The more of a mitzvah, the more greater you can fulfill in your mitzvah. There reaches a point where a person has a right to say, Ravashlam, I don't have to keep on eating for 12 hours straight, nonstop. There reaches a point where I could say that if I did this bare bone minimum, I'm not mevatel as a mitzvah. I was yotzeh the bare bone minimum of the mitzvah. What's that bare bone minimum? Mishach kezayis yotzeh. But if you choose to go past the kezayis, tova lecha bracha, matayv, the more the merrier. The more you eat, the greater the mitzvah. Mitzvah sechin lechol matzah v'loch mishos v'nisa. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah Pesach night. Oh, by the way, you want to know what's called a ma'isa chila to say that a ma'isa potter and you can't hold me responsible anymore? If I don't want the mishach kezayis yotzeh. But according to this reading in the Rambam, the person who eats more matzah is talking about fulfilling a greater mitzvah. There are some achrayim who even say that's part of the reason why Chazal was so careful about not eating on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, because not just to get you lechol matzah l'teyava. We usually think what matzah l'teyava means, if you eat matzah with a gusto, with a geshmak, so that'll be a hiddur mitzvah, that'll be a more exciting of the mitzvah. If you eat matzah when you're pretty full, so you'll be less excited, that's a chisod in the hiddur mitzvah. So there are some who want to add on to that and say, no, you want you to eat matzah l'teyava, because when you eat matzah l'teyava, what will you do by definition? You'll eat more of it, because you're going to be hungrier. So that's a good thing. We want to eat more. We want to have 15 kezayisim. We're happy with the person who's eating half the box of shmur matzahs on Pesach night. Not because we really believe that's a kezayis. Come on, that's a joke. We know kezayis is much, much smaller than that. But we're not looking at the person who's eating more than kezayis. We say, great, matzah. Mitzvah says, lechol matzah v'lechol mishos v'nisan. So it could be that model exists when it comes to Tils Luv as well. The Torah says, "Lekachta b'chameyam harishon." What's made lekachta b'chameyam harishon? That you should be walking around with a luv the whole day. Lekachta b'chameyam harishon. The word lekicha doesn't only mean that the very first picking up that you take. The whole status, the whole being in a state of I'm constantly lekach, constantly lekach. It's like kiyikach yishisha. Some want to say. Yeah. Not just the mitzvah is not just to get the ma'isa kedushin. Someone to argue the whole state of being in the state of kicha does also a mitzvah. Maybe no. But lechach chameyam harishon means the more you pick up the luv, the better. How much you have to pick it up? Mishenoto kama. Once I did one ma'isa kicha, you can't say the guy's a vatal mitzvah. I took it already. I took it already. I did a ma'is lekicha. But the more ma'is lekichas you do, the better off you are. And therefore, aren't you shalayim of every makbid on this? And they continued. They insisted on carrying the lulav on and on and on throughout the course of the day. They considered that to be a hemshich u'kachachem in the rishon on a level of deraisa. It's a mitzvah kibbutz on a level of deraisa. So perhaps that's what Taisa is driving at. And if a marshal is right, the Balei Tais is blind to the Rambam, assuming the Balei Tais is holding the Rambam by Matzah, which just between you and me, they happen not to. The Tais in Kedushin of Lava Ches, it doesn't hold, Pasha doesn't hold the way. But if you would hold like that Rambam and put together the Rambam by Matzah and the Balei Tais is to read by Lulav, you would come up with an interesting idea. Let's say a guy ate Matzah, forgot to make Alachel's Matzah. So we could justify, he finished everything already. We could justify maybe eating more matzah with a bracha, because that's also considered to be an extension. The same way the Balei Tais is here called for the Ri, that you could make Alachel's Lulav, not as smach than a nuim, as smach just the extension of the Stam Lekicha. No, the shaking is, everyone agrees, it's only midrabon, it's an afterthought. But everyone agrees that the basic truth, the mitzvah deraisa, with the avi and avi basis, the chiddush of Anshei Shalayim was, is that they kept it up, kept on doing ma'aseh lekichas throughout the course of the day. That's what it sounds like, right. That's what I said, right. If that's the case, so then we can begin to understand why Tosfos presents it slightly different. When it comes to the Nanuim is a different word. The Nanuim you mechuyiv to do. But the Rabbanon you mechuyiv to Nanuim. If you didn't do Nanuim, you missed something. If you didn't walk around with the lulav the whole day, we can't see you missing. You wouldn't vatal anything, not Minotaur, not Midrabbanon. You didn't get the key, but that's not called a bittul. So just because Tosfos was okay with making a bracha on the Nanuim, that's Betchilas Divrayim. That's what Tosfos writes, Nanuim, because a mitzvah will nigmar adai. That means Midrabbanan, the mitzvah isn't over yet. Midnatovah, the mitzvah is lukachdem. Midrabbanan, the mitzvah is lukachdem with Nanuim. So at the beginning of Tosfos in Sukkah Lamites, Tosfos defended the practice of making a bracha osmach on the Nanuim, because lo nigmar mitzvah adai. Then they had to be mechadish, a next level, that you can make a bracha on the Anshei Shalayim part. You can't say about that lo nigma ha-mitzvah daim. Because the mitzvah is over already. Because the chiv is over already. That's the place that he had to invoke a different lashon. V'yesh b'dvar mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Choshu kevitz tiyosan. What Tais is saying in a mufcha doesn't mean like hidden mitzvah. It means that's a better way of doing the lekicha. It's a more mechubitik way of doing it. It's a more hidden way of doing the lekicha. So you can make a bracha on that also, but that's not the same as Nanuim. So just because some Rishonim buy into Nanuim is being justifiable for the bracha, the Anshei Shalayim is still a far cry away. So just because Tais and Pesachim of Zayin accepts the Nanuim, they don't mention the Anshei Shalayim. It could be that they disagree with the Tais and Pesachim. They hold that the Nanuim, that is a good justification. Because they are takal nigmar ha-mitzvah, but they're about a nigmar ha-mitzvah. Whereas to go ahead and extrapolate and say you can make a bracha al-svach, walk in the streets with that, that's already a huge, huge chiddush. Maybe Tais and Pesachim doesn't buy it there. Only Tais and Pesachim buys it there. So I understand the mitzvah, the words mitzvah ramuch almost like a kiyum. It's a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's a greater fulfillment. It's not a hidu mitzvah, the classic sense of the word. Yes, yeah, so it's you could possibly connect this to tefillin. So maybe a similar mashal by tefillin as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a pregadim that says that min haTorah you really only have to put on tefillin for a split second every day. Shas Melos Hadach, 1 second. But Bizmar Chazal, they worked for the entire day. Why did they do that for? So the Prebukadim says that's not a mitzvah chiyuvus, that's a mitzvah chiyuvus. That the more you have tefillin on, the better it is. So it would be the same kind of an idea. Again, if you would hold like that Rambam, that's true by matzah, and hold like this Ri, like it's nice and sukkah, then it would be true. I didn't say we hold like either of those two things, but if you put those two together, then it would be true. But maybe the whole idea that Tosfos said, almost like as an afterthought, that the Anshei Shalayim could defend the practice of making a bracha after the Ikar Mitzvah is over, Lemaisa Tais Mitzvah didn't call the Andrei Shalayim. And perhaps one could argue that the Andrei Shalayim, their practice is meaningless to our discussion. No matter what they were doing, it doesn't impact our discussion for the following reason. Not that I want to commit the Andrei Shalayim to some kind of meta halachic state. No, I want them to be from our camp. They're real abdonim, real hardcore briskers, as adin, as halacha. And it's still not relevant for us. Perhaps it's not relevant for us, and it's not going to justify brachas for us for the following reason. Anyone wonder why only in Yerushalayim this was the minhag? What about the holy people who lived in Bnei Brak? And the holy people who lived in, a lot of other holy cities in Eretz Yisrael? Anshe Tiberi, Anshe Tzvat, all the holy cities. Only the Anshe Yerushalayim did this. So one could not be too bothered with this kasha and not draw too many conclusions from this kasha. The Gemara just told, they were very special. This was a hint that they did, and most people didn't bother doing this. Or could it be that there was something unique about Yerushalayim that set the stage for this practice that may not be relevant in Washington Heights? So as you do a mefursim, and the Mishnah says, in Masechta Sukkah, that there are two parts of the mitzvah that lulav min haTorah. There's lulav in Medina and lulav in Mikdash. Lulav in Medina means lulav in the entire world, not just in Eretz Yisrael, the entire world. It's the mitzvah of Chemes HaGuf. So lulav is nitol yamecha min haTorah. Kach lemechem yam harishon, this is the mitzvah of their eyes, I take lulav only for one day. Alright, what does the pasuk mean when it says, v'smachta b'fneshem b'kecham shiviz yomim? So the Tosh HaPeh interpreted that pasuk to mean that you have to do an atilas lulav for 7 days. 7 days where? L'fneshem b'kecham shiviz yomim. So that's what the Mishnah tells us in the third Pekah Sukkah. That was the Tiras HaMitzvah Min HaTorah. Smachtem is a real mitzvah deraisa. Even though the Tosh HaPeh explains that Smachtem is referring to Netilas Lulav, the Pasuk says, L'kach l'vchem yam rishon priyatak v'nafitaz v'avinachal kama smachta u'smachtem v'lesha v'kach shiviz yomim. So there are really two ways of reading the Pasuk. You could read the Pasuk that take a lulav wherever you are, period, end of paragraph, end of chapter. And then, by the way, an additional mitzvah is you should be mesamech in front of your Baruch Shalom for 7 days in Sukkot. So one could have read the Pasuk that way. So Chazal clearly did not. Tosh HaPeh teaches us that that's not the pshat. It's a comma in the sentence. Take the lulav in Esrog, usmachta b'fnei Hashem l'kechem, with the taking of the lulav in Esrog. Use lulav in Esrog to be mesamech for 7 days, but that's all l'fnei Hashem l'kechem. So the Tosh HaPeh understood that this is one, in a sense, one run-on sentence. Usmachtem is going back on the phrase lakachtem, and the Torah is basically presenting there's two parts of the mitzvah. There's kachtem yam harishay, that's begvulin, that's chutz lemikdash, and usmachtem shibis yomim, that's only bemikdash. Even though it's clear from the Tosh HaPeh that you have to read the pasuk in this manner, the Rambam at the very end of Hilchos Lulav points out that there is still a meaning of the pasuk kipshuta. That means there is a key, or there is a mitzvah of smachta of Hashem Lekach Shem Zion by Sukkah, nothing to do with lulav. Lekachtem is one mitzvah, and then there's a smachta, is a different mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be sameach with the Baruch Shalom and Sukkot for Shem Zion and Lefnei Hashem, only by Mikdash. What does that mitzvah mean? There's a mitzvah Sukkot Zion for the Yom Tov. What's this Chadish Lan in the Mikdash on Sukkot Davka? So at the very end of Hilchos Lulav, the Rambam writes that Simcha Yaseira Yesh B'Sukkah, but Mikdash, that there's a regular standard baseline mitzvah Sukkot Yom Tov, the entire week of Yom Tov, all the Shal Shogalim, and that's nothing to do with Mikdash. The Rambam Shita is, and Sukkot Yom Tov should be Yetzir and Tinek also. But the Smachta of Neshem Lechem, but Mikdash, there's a special kibbutz of Simcha Yaseir, above and beyond the regular rules of Simcha. And that's what the Rambam explains. That's why there's a simple base of Shaleva. You ever wonder why people are dancing around in the base of Mikdash with juggling and doing all kind of kunsim and stunts on Sukkot Davka, one at Pesach and Shavuos? So the Rambam writes, that simple base of Shaleva is l'kayim b'din v'smach l'vzeh shemekech shemizyom. Some people just, they were just dancing and singing. They didn't even know what they were dancing about. So the Rambam says, up b'din. The dancing and singing of Simchas Shaleva is a din of Simchas HaMikdash and Sukkot derived from this pasuk. According to the Rambam, it's clear that the Smachtem has two different mitzvahs. There's a Smachtem which is relating back to Lekachtem, which is redefining the mitzvah of Lulav for Mikdash the whole week. And then there's a Smachtem, it's a separate kibbutz for the Hatzimah. Rashi and Masechta Sukkah happens to disagree with that Rambam. Rashi writes, why do they make such a big parties and dancing and juggling acts and Maisalach for Sukkah Ves Shueva? So Rambam writes, the Rashi writes that has nothing to do with the Sukkah per se. That has to do with the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim. Since there happens to be Halacha Bashem Sina as a mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, you have to go to the Shiloyach and draw out the water and pour it on the Mizbeach, something that you don't do the rest of the year. So there's a special Halacha Bashem Sina called Nisa Chamayim. The Pasuk says in the show, Shaf Tamayim Besosim Menei Yeshua, that there's a din when you do Shiva Samayim, which you only do a Sukkis, so there's a din that has to be Besosim, Shaf Tamayim Besosim Menei Yeshua. So Rashi writes all the celebrations of the each night of Sukkis. It was not because it was Sukkis. It was because there's a mitzvah of the Shiva Sabayim, this is Nischamayim, and that's a Mechayim. Chapsa Nafkamina between Rashi and Rambam. Let's say there's no water in the Shalach that year. You can't find any water, you're not going to do Nischamayim. It's a drought, there is no water. So according to the Rambam, you still have to make parties. Sukkis, the Kedusha Yom of Sukkis is a Mechayim of special celebration in the Mikdash Kol Shiva. According to Rashi, it's only a din in Simchas HaMitzvahs Nischamayim. Getting back to the story. So there is a mitzvah of the Tilos Lulav Yom Rishon, Eva Filo Medina, over Mikdash Kol Shiva. The Gemara talks about the two Shadim, Simcha and Sasa. We're not really sure what the difference is. Gemara and Sukkah, no? So the Gemara tells a story about them? Sasa and Simcha, two guys? No? Not sure who they were. Okay. Back to the story. So, this mitzvah is chadish to us from this pasuk in Chumash with the Tosh Bapeh's explanation. You have to take a lulav in the mikdash the whole week. Yesh lachkar. What's the nature of this mitzvah? So one can understand this mitzvah one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is a mitzvah of tilos lulav. There's a mitzvah of tilos lulav dalad minim. Mitzvah of tilos dalad minim. There are different zmanim for the mitzvah. If you live in Tinek, the zman is one day. If you live in Beis HaMikdash, so the zman is 7 days. But it's become around the same mitzvah. It's the same dalminim, same chetzah for dalminim, same ma'aseh v'tehillah. It's a difference in terms of time and place, but it's basically fundamentally the same mitzvah. What do I say? No. Since the Torah presents it, it doesn't say lokachdem lifnei Hashem lokach b'shem yom. It says usmachdem lifnei Hashem lokach b'shem yom. The essence of the mitzvah is a mitzvah simcha. It's not a mitzvah lekicha. The essence of the mitzvah is usmach l'shem lokach b'shem yom. Eloah, how does that simcha express itself? So we know there are different ways that simcha expresses itself in halacha. Sometimes simcha expresses itself through basav yayin. So that's an yontif. Sometimes simcha expressed itself through shiras v'tish bachos. That's simcha sakrabonis. Taksa shalavat ha-shalakam. Simcha v'tuv leivav. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs writes that simcha and yontif also expressed itself through halos. The Ramban's famous sheet, the halon yontif, is der aisa. So sometimes the Torah gives us a mitzvah of simcha, and the expression of simcha will depend based on the time and place of what the hamdara of that mitzvah of simcha is all about. So perhaps here the Torah is telling us there's a mitzvah of simcha samikdush, all week of Sukkot, and it's not enough just to come to the base and make sure you put a big smiley face on. It's not enough just to dance up and down and say, Gia Kadosh Baruch Hu, P'kud Hashem B'Shem B'Sam Chilei. It's not enough to come to the base and make sure you have a barbecue and have Ein Simcha B'Bos V'Yayin. The Simcha HaMikdash of Sukkot has to express itself through a very particular tzura. The tzura is through L'kichas Dalam Minim. But the name of the mitzvah is not L'kichas Dalam Minim. The name of the mitzvah is Simchas HaMikdash through the vehicle of the Alamim. It's a different mitzvah. So on the first day in Tinek, in Tel Aviv, in Ashdod, the mitzvah is Ulkachlov, the mitzvah is Lakichas Dalaminim. The fact that there's a Dibin HaTorah that I have to take Dalaminim the rest of the week in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a different form of the government. That's a mitzvah simcha that happens to use the vehicle Lakichas Dalaminim. There is a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam in that sugya, Masechta Sukkah. What's called the mikdash for these purposes? What does it mean? Lifnei Hashem lekechem shivas yom. What's meant lifnei Hashem? Lifnei Hashem is a very, very vague phrase because it means different things in different contexts. Sometimes the Torah says lifnei Hashem lekech tochlenu shana b'shana. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to eat certain kachim to eat by sasheni. Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem doesn't mean the base of mikdash. It means in all of Yishalayim. All of the old city, whatever is considered to be halachli within the walls, the old walls of Yishalayim. That's called Lifnei Hashem Lekecha. Sometimes the Lifnei Hashem means in the Azorim, it's the Beis Hamikdash. Perhaps sometimes the Lifnei Hashem means the Har Bayis. It's hard to know exactly what the Lifnei Hashem means. You have to climb, you have to see for the context of that given halacha. So here, Rashi writes Lifnei Hashem for these purposes means in the Mikdash Mamash, literally in the Beis Hamikdash itself. And the Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos, the Mishnah Tartach, he doesn't say one way or the other. In Perashat Mishnayos, the Rambam writes, the Lifnei Hashem means all of Yerushalayim. Just as it means that Lagabi Achil is coming. Based on Hashem Kalam, it's a shiny, it means that Lagabi, the Tils Lulav Kol Shil. So according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah deraisa of the Tils Lulav Kol Shiva for Yerushalayim. And it's very possible that the mitzvah of the Tils Lulav Kol Shiva is not really a mitzvah of the Tils Lulav. It's a mitzvah of simcha. It happens to be you have to use a lulav to reach, to attain that level of simcha. But it's not a mitzvah of lulav, it's a mitzvah of simcha. Abazoy, if that's the case, that it's a mitzvah of simcha, then perhaps one could suggest the following fascinating idea. When is there a klal mit abayim nofik bay? Mit abayim nofik bay is a din in what? It's a din in lekichas alulav. Once I was lekech the lulav, it's over. The game's over. There's nothing else for me to do. But if the nature of the mitzvahs is smachtem, so as the phrase goes, the more the merrier. Means the more misameach, the more the simcha. So could it be that if you put together these two pieces and say that mikdash smachtem deshem lekech means Yerushalayim, and when we're talking about that mitzvah of simcha b'mikdash les Yerushalayim kol shiva, the words with the Abi Nafik Bey are not going to be so exact. Then it makes a lot of sense to hold on to it as long as you can. Could it be for this reason why the Anshe Yerushalayim were the only ones who were spaziering around all day with the Dalaminim? Not the Anshe Tel Aviv, not the Anshe Bnei Brak. Because for them, they were chutz l'mikdash. For them, they were chutz l'Yerushalayim. For them, there was no need to do that. For them, they didn't accomplish anything by doing that. Only the Anshe Yerushalayim, who were fulfilling the din of Usmachtem by holding on to the lulav, that made a lot of sense. So if that's the case, that gives a whole spin on the sugya of Anshe Yerushalayim. If that's all the Gemara meant with Anshe Yerushalayim, how you're walking around, that does not indicate that spazering around is a mitzvah of the Tilos Lulav Bechlau. Maybe it's only a mitzvah of Usmachtem, Hashem Akechem. It's not a mitzvah of Tilos Lulav. An obazoi that it's not a mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, it's a mitzvah of Smachtem. How could that be the brach of Netilas Lulav? How in the world are you going to use that for Netilas Lulav? How's that going to be the other Yosef for Lulav? There's no mitzvah to do that when you're walking around. You're walking around with the Balitites, with the Relief in France. You're walking around the Reed and Lubin Paris, Omega Paris. You're walking around Paris. You're walking around the Orleans. You're walking around ancient France. And you think you're gaining something by carrying your lulav all day? What are you gaining? You're getting garnish from garnish. Go to Yerushalayim and carry your lulav. Don't walk around Paris. There's no kiyum at the Eiffel Tower of holding onto your lulav all day. The kiyum is in Mikdash or Yerushalayim at least. So perhaps the fact that Tosfos on Sukkot of Lamed Tes invoked that imagery of the Anshe Yerushalayim as a justification for a signing of bracha, Tosfos clearly understood that Anshe Yerushalayim is lav dafka Yerushalayim. It was a din also Matilas lulav. Maybe the reason why other Rishonim shied away from that, why Tosfos themselves didn't quote that, why the Rambam probably didn't buy into that, why the Rishonim probably didn't accept that idea, maybe because they held the Anshe Yerushalayim was limited, unique to Yerushalayim. What? Oh, wait. Hold on for a second. So let's see if we can maybe take this thought one step further. If we really believe that the sugya of Anshe Yerushalayim is limited to Yerushalayim, and really, really focusing on that side of the Chakira, really believing it's not a din of lekichas lulav, it's a din of simcha, it would behoove us to try to prove that. If we really want to present this as a viable alternative to Tosfos Sukkot of Lamed Tes, it would be nice if we could come up with some kind of a raya to that side, at least within some Rishonim. So who's with us in Luv HaGozel? Anyone around? Thought you were around Luv HaGozel. You're around Luv HaGozel. How many years have you been in Shiri? Fourth year. Wow, long time. Okay. All right. We'll go into the record books. Okay. You got another 8 years to go till you come close to the records. Okay. So the old timers may remember that there was a major, major, major machlekes of Rishonim in the beginning of the third Pech of Sukkah about when a person b'mikdash, stir de chalamoy b'mikdash, and he wants to be yaitzeh's mitzvah of smach l'vesh v'chash v'syomim, what halachas of Luv and Esrog really truly carry over to usmachtem? So there were many Rishonim who were of the opinion that many, perhaps even all of the halachas may even carry over. And many Rishonim said no. There were some, even as far as the Rambam was to say, that nothing carried over. When you want to shake Luv and Esrog on the first day of Sukkot, there are very, very specific halachas. If you're missing this, it's pit them fell off, it's got a hole, it's got a black spot, you name it, what can go wrong? Apostles, you live in Ezra. The Rambam says, Bamed Bamamurim on Yom Rishon. Aber, the whole week of Sukkot, even Bamikdash. That makes life a difference. Allah Psalm Akosha. You name it, Allah Psalm Akosha. Twice at the beginning of Sukkot disagrees with this, the beginning of third Sukkot disagrees with this. But the Rambam holds, Kashita, the Ram seems to say that a lot of things go. A lot of things are okay after the first day. How do we understand that? Why should that be so? Why should the psulim deraisa change after the first day? So the Chacham explained, the answer is very simple. If you hold that the mitzvah of mikdash is not a mitzvah of kichas lulav, it's a mitzvah of simcha. Oh, what? The simcha has to express itself with a chefetz of indalad minim. So it's true, you can't come and say, I'm going to take an orange and a tulip and a rose and a give me another flower, please. A cantaloupe. Okay. Two cantaloupes, two fruits, and two flowers. You're going to come with your own idea of dalad minim. That's a joke. The Torah says you have to be misameach, lefrei Hashem, with dalad minim. An esrog that's missing a pitum, well, it's not an esrog. It's a shame esrog. It's just missing a pitum. It's an esrog apostle. You have a lul of apostle. You have a hadas apostle, a rav apsula. As long as you have a shame dalad minim, if the mitzvah would be lekichas dalad minim, then there are dinim. Lekachtam, it's got to be lekichatomo, it's got to be a hodr, it's got to be azach. Zach chumras that have to be in order to be the cheftaf and dalad minim maksherim. But if the nature of the mitzvah is just simcha, so there's no reason to insist on having a kosher dalminim, all you have to have is a shame dalminim. It can be called an esra without being an esra kosher, and that's good enough for the mitzvah smachtem. So it could be that machlekes rishonim get a little vagrozel whether the dinim deraisa and the psuliyam rishon carry over for the whole week min haTorah b'mikdash. That may goofa be this nukudas machlekes between the very same days and taisus here. If you hold that it's really a mitzvah of mitzvahs lulav, and therefore we can extrapolate for the Anshei Shalayim back to us, and we can justify making a bracha based on the practice of Anshei Shalayim. If you hold that this is basically lulav playing out, so then it makes sense. It's lulav ben l'kula ben l'chumra, and therefore the chumras of lulav in Esrog will carry over to Yerushalayim. If you hold that this is not lulav b'chlal, there's a different mitzvah of smachtem, which is using a chetz of lulav to retain simcha, then that can't justify making a bracha. But you're not subject to all the chumras of dal minim. So that's a running issue in the beginning of Frech Luv HaGozel. One could throw a little bit of a curveball at this and say that even if you interpret the Gemara about the Anshei Shalayim, Kipshuto only referring to Shalayim, and has no relevance to us, it had no relevance to us until when? Until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Mesakein, that what? Lulav Nitel Shiva, Zeich LaMikdash. Once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that there's a mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav called Shiva, Zeich LaMikdash, so then what we do mimics what they did Bizman HaMikdash. So therefore, Bizman HaMikdash, the Anshei Shalayim didn't walk around with it. It was a real din in the Torah. So for us, the Rabbanon, maybe it's also a din. Maybe we, Bizman HaZeh, have the a little bit of a remnant of the Anshei Shalayim, and maybe that's why Tosfos was comfortable invoking the bracha. It could be that in the world of pure lomdus we're right. The Anshei Shalayim had nothing to do with Tilas Lulav. But, and therefore it shouldn't be relevant outside of Yerushalayim. But for us, post Tachanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, maybe it is good enough. Maybe we make a bracha on the Tachanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Zakai. So we make it out this rule about the takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We can make a bracha on the takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to mimic Sibchus HaMikdash, to mimic Sibchus Yerushalayim. So maybe, it's unclear, so you got to learn a lot in Luv HaGolz to try to figure out whether this is relevant or not to this discussion test. But I'll call upon him, getting back to our story. So Tais the two biurim to explain why the phenomena could be that when you shake your lulav b'tchila, when you pick up your lulav b'tchila, you don't have to rush to make a bracha before. You can pick up the lulav first and then deal with the brachas afterwards. Either the brachas are smachta aduim, or the ayd yishloim, as Tais in Sukkot Daf Lamed says, maybe the brachas are smachta anshei shishalayim. So yesterday we spoke a lot about what the issue of the nanuim was, the pros and cons of which nanuim we're talking about. Does it really make sense to make a bracha smach nanuim? Today we spoke a little bit about the pros and cons of making a bracha smach the answer shushalim. But one thing Taisa said was off the charts. Taisa said there's one thing don't even begin to discuss, not even negotiable, which would have been the simplest solution to this entire problem. What would have been the easiest way possible to avoid this last 2 days of year? What could we have done? It would have been so, so easy. Say a bracha before you pick it up. Put the dal minim on the table. Make a bracha and pick it up. Taiz is turning the world upside down to try to avoid doing that. What's the shlach? What was so terrible with doing that? So Taiz and Sukkah tells us that's not an option. You know why it's not an option? Taisa says, "Lo mistab klal, tehechiv arachalom hu murach bekli." Taisa brings Yeriah from the Gemara Maseches Menachos that when you make a bracha on tefillin, so the Gemara says you make a bracha on tefillin b'shas hanochat shas kshira. So you have the shalyad on your arm. You are meniach it on your arm already. You haven't tied the knot yet. Right before you tie the knot, you make the bracha niach tefillin. That's the lashon Gemara Maseches Menachos. So, Frek Taisa is. Why does the Gemara insist that Mishas Hanocha Shas Kshira? Why does the Gemara say make the bracha when as you're taking it out of the bag? So make a bracha. It's sitting in the bed. Make a bracha. So Tai says, no, that's too early. The din is called Mitzvah over the Siyas, and Oiver means not what the Rishon coined the phrase, Oiver the Oiver. It's too early. My tefillin are in the bag. My talis is in the bag. You make a bracha. No, you have to make the bracha right before you do the Maaseh Mitzvah. So Tai said, for you to make the bracha on the lulav when it's sitting on the table, that's like a shtichel over the over. That's too far removed. You can't make a bracha to at least chach holding the chetash mitzvah in your hand. So by all other mitzvahs, it's easy to hold instead of matzah. I'm holding the matzah. I didn't eat it yet. I'm holding the shayfer. I'm holding the tzitzis. I'm holding the tzitzis. So all other mitzvahs, you can hold the chetash mitzvah in your hand and then make the bracha and then do the ma'aseh mitzvah. Lulav is the pickle because the ma'aseh mitzvah is the having it in your hand. So Tosfos said the option to make your bracha while still on the table is not an option, based on tefillah. So notwithstanding what Tosfos writes, that is exactly what the Rambam describes to them. The Rambam in the 10th and Rambam Kermis, the Chazluv Perigzayin Lachabav, what Tosfos Shreit Chavikayim is not an option. The Rambam describes mitzvah ben amuv chalega luv hadas and rav lasa shalat gulachas. You have to luv tzach egin. Okay, that we know. Ushu note lo blatzeis behen. You're getting ready to be yaitzir the mitzvah. Mevarach tchila tils luv. Hol b'kun tzibuchin loy. You make the bracha on tils luv. Roll in front of you. V'achakach nedu laguda azayis b'mina v'yasim v'smaylon. The Rambam says you make the bracha and then v'achakach nedu laguda. The Rambam was bothered with Taisa's kash. It's got to be able to see us. And the Rambam said, "What? You're going to rely on the Nanuim? What are you crazy? Nanuim? What are you rely on Dan Shalayim? That doesn't make any sense. Of course, you have to make the bracha before." So the Rambam says, "Zolzon, you make the bracha before. How are you going to do that? Don't pick it up yet." The Rambam didn't make a bracha in his tefillin or in the bag. What's the difference? The chayit's a pella on Taisa's. It's a pella gov on Taisa's. What's the pella? The comparison from tefillin to lulav. What's the comparison? Why tefillin? The reason why you can't make a bracha what's in the bag, it's what? It's 22 steps removed. You have to take it out of the bag, unwrap, and then put it on your arm, and then tie it. That's over the end. Over here, it's one step removed. The second you take it out of the bag, that'll be the mitzvah. Take it off the table, it'll be the mitzvah. So when the Gemara says, Mishas Hanocha, The fact that the Gemara says you have to make a bracha on tefillin when you're holding on to them, they're on your arm in place, ready to go. Tosfos understood that was necessary because kol zman you're not holding on to it, that's already called over the over. It's nothing to do with how many steps before. Just the mere fact that the item is not in your hands, not tachas yodcha, that's already a chisar of over the over. And therefore Tosfos said, just as by tefillin it's not conceivable, by luv it's not conceivable either. The Rambam understood the chisaron of making a bracha on tefillin before it's in your hand is not because it's not on your hand. The problem is because it's 16 steps removed from the mitzvah. So chafzad af kavina, by lulav, it's only one step removed, but it's not on your hand. So Taisa said that was a problem. And the Rambam held that was for sure okay. So the Rambam thought perfectly okay with how to shake the lulav. Then the Rambam goes on. Again, so the Rambam wrote that you make the bracha before, you pick it up, and everything is shalom by Yisrael. So the Rambam, Iluchas Lula, I'm sorry, Iluchas Brachas, back to the ninth of the Rambam Kodesh. Now the Rambam, unlike Iluchas Lula, when he tells you what to do, the Rambam Iluchas Brachas begins to give you alternate scenarios of timing of the bracha. So the Rambam writes, the night of Ramkaran, his brach speaking out of the Tzvav, not on the lulav. If a person picked up the lulav, mevarach al tilas lulav. Shkevet shigbir yotzidich avosoi. So the Rambam says, okay, you can still make the bracha even though you picked it up. How did the Rambam know that? Agamar. The Gemara goes surprised that says that is an option. So the Rambam says, if a person was not lost the lulav, the Rambam is not saying to do that lechat chila. The Rambam is saying, if and when you picked up the lulav, so now you're scratching your head, what about the bracha? No problem, make the bracha out of the lulav. Aval, says the Rambam, imbira kedim shiito, if you chose to make the bracha first, like he himself told you to do in lechat lulav, mevarach lita lulav from aleisha besukah. Then you change the nusach. This is all part of a Rambam's theory, where the Rambam says, push comes to shove, if you do a mitzvah before, if you make a bracha first, then it's always going to be a leh. If you do the bracha afterwards, then it may switch to become an al. And hopefully those will be around for next week. We'll try to talk about that a little bit more. So the Rambam says, by lulav, there are almost two different models, the two paths to go. If you chose to recite the bracha first, that's wonderful. And then the bracha should be litol salul. If you chose not to do that, so then you have to, you can make the bracha. It's okay. So there's no problem, no cause making the bracha. You got to switch the nusach. It's got to be an al bracha, not a lib bracha. So there are a few issues that have to be understood in light of these two Rambams. If the Rambam Yuchas Brachas just told you that if you're doing things in a sense the right way, bracha first, mitzvah afterwards, the bracha is leh, that's not what the Rambam says in Yuchas Lulav. Because lulav, the Rambam writes, "Chushen not lom latzeis behen, bevarach tchila al netilas lulav." The Rambam should have said what? Be also lulav, right? The Rambam's bracha says that's exactly to make a lit also lulav. So why does the Rambam switch gears here and say you make a bracha al netilas lulav? So the Kesef Mishnah says mitachkayim rakusha. The Rambam here was a trifle misleading. When he says, Bevarach tchila al netilas lulav, the Rambam did not mean to give you the text of the bracha here. When the Rambam says, Bevarach al netilas lulav, he doesn't mean to say, that's what you're going to say. Say these words after me. What it means is, you make a bracha, what? On the mitzvah of netilas lulav. You make a bracha for netilas lulav. What bracha do you make? If you want to know what bracha to make a mitzvah, where do you look? You don't look at chas lulav, look at chas brachas. So everyone else thought the Rambam meant you make a bracha al netilas lulav. This is the text, all the following words in quotation marks al netilas lulav. And everyone scratched their head. What? That's not what you said in those brachas. So Kesef Mishnah said the Rambam never meant to say that. Okay, interesting, interesting way of reading the Rambam. But Zolzayin, the Rambam is presenting in those brachas two paths. In those lulav, he seems to be presenting the path that he wants. He's giving you this. you're reading this Rambam Hilchos Luluv on Sukkot morning. You woke up in the morning on Sukkot. You're learning the halachas, then you're going to do it. So Hilchos Luluv is telling you what to do. Hilchos Brachos, when you say Mashiach, about Hilchos Luluv in the middle of Chodeshiyar. So you should just know that there are two paths. There are two possibilities. One is preferable, one is not so great, but it's also okay. So what's the path that's okay? The path that's okay is you picked up the Luluv first, and then you're making the Bracha afterwards, which is basically upright Sagamar. So I have a problem. According to the Rambam, what is your justification to recite a bracha at that point? I did what I wasn't really supposed to do. I picked up the lulav first, and now chamed min yaitzei. So what exactly is allowing me to make a bracha at that point? So this is the age-old question. We know Tosfos already talked about this. Tosfos said, it's the nanuim that's allowing you to do the bracha, to make the bracha, right? That's what Tosfos said in our sugya. You think the Rambam held that way? Does the Rambam say a word about nanuim? The Rambam said, did the Rambam say, oh, by the way, you haven't done the Nanuim yet, so therefore you're still good to go? I don't know. The Rambam in Hilchos Brachos was very, very vague. Not less a lulav, but brachot less lulav. Came to be a yotzei nechavosai. The Rambam didn't say, oh, by the way, you're not really a yotzei, because you still have Nanuim. You think the Rambam's a long on the answer, you should lie. I don't believe that either. So what possible justification could there be for the person who goofed? So we already know possible justification. What is that? Yeah. The question? Or? Okay. What possible justification could there be to allow you to make a bracha after you were already yetzi? It's the brisa. What does the brisa hold? Which other Rishonim already had to learn that the brisa is a b'diavad to get yetzi? The Rashbam and Rebbe Natam learned that you're not really supposed to do what it says in the Braisa, but you could still make the bracha. Why? Because the klal of kol mitzvah zavach lebos l'yosin is what? According to Rashbam and Rebbe Natam, was only a what? It was only lechatchil and abediyah. Could the Rambam be learning the Braisa that way? Forget it. Because the Rambam is the Reish of Abram who holds that kol mitzvah zavach lebos l'yosin is likuva mamish. It's a famous Rambam. Hopefully we'll talk about that next week in the Shurim. That's the Rambam Chazishas by Birchas Erison. That's the Rambam Chaz Brachas. The Rambam says Pemolei. If you did the, you blew the shofar and the game's over. You ate the matzah, it's gone. You makash isha, forget it. The Rambam under no shape or form holds you can make brachas after the mitzvah. So obviously that's not the pshat of the Rambam. So forget about the Rambam for a second. The Gemara, the Brice of the Gemara that says that. You shook the lulav. You took the lulav. Rhymes. You took the lulav. You picked it up, and the Rambam says it's okay. You can make a bracha now. No problem. You can still make the bracha. Based on what? Not new him. Rambam didn't say. Ansh shalayim. I don't believe it. B'diavad. Forget about it. So what is the justification? What could possibly justify this? So the chora, the answer to this question. So the chora you have to say is that this is almost like an extension of an idea of a bitzad mishachas. The Rambam himself is about to say that there are certain mitzvahs that if you goofed and you made the bracha afterwards, you could still make the bracha. You know why? Because it's not fully afterwards yet. It's still going on a little bit. What are some examples? The Rambam actually gives three famous examples of those brachas of mitzvahs that you should have really made the bracha before. For whatever reason you didn't, you can still make the bracha now. See, this is one. Tefillin and sukkah. Those are the three mitzvahs. Those are the mitzvahs on mishachos that the Rambam highlights. Tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. In other words, these mitzvahs are not just the mitzvah of tying the knot. Having the tefillin on is also a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just putting the beged on. Having the beged with the tzitzis on for longer is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just, I'm sitting down the sukkah, I'm extending, I'm staying in the sukkah. That's also a mitzvah. It's just interesting, I just thought of it just now. These three mitzvahs, tzitzit, tefillin, and sukkah, which are the three highlights, the mitzvah, nimshachas, and Rambam, happen to also be a unique category of three mitzvahs. I don't remember.
The bar.
This is the Bach mitzvah. These are the three mitzvahs of the Bach, quotes from this Daik in the Torah, that you have to have kavanah for the tam ha-mitzvah min ha-Torah. All of the mitzvahs, I do a mitzvah, but I know what's going on, I'm paying attention, doesn't matter. But these mitzvahs are laman mitzvahs. Laman yidin derseich, laman tisku, laman tisku, laman tisku. So the Bach says, in the Torah in these three places, gives you a whole philosophy, a whole hashkav, gives you a whole Shabbos morning drasha, why are you doing these mitzvahs? So the Bach says that nice drashas, but the Torah is a sefer halacha. Why is he giving you his rabbi's sermon on it in the middle of writing a Mishnah Berurah, writing a sefer halacha? So the Bach says, no, the Tam HaDavar is important for in the world of halacha here, because the Torah is makbir on the Tam HaDavar, laman, laman, laman. Is it just coincidental that these are the three laman mitzvahs, that the Tam is important, and these are the three mitzvahs with the mitzvah mishachas? Maybe it's not coincidental at all. Maybe these mitzvahs, the maisa is not really the essence of the mitzvah. The tying of the tefillin is not so important. The tying of the tefillin is supposed to put you into a mindset of laman. You wake it up in the morning, half asleep, you throw your tzitzis on. The mitzvah is not just the throwing of the tzitzis on. It's supposed to set you up for the stage of laman tizkuru. To sitting down to sukkah, take your first bite, or whatever your first sitting, whatever you think teshuva means, it's to get you to the state of laman yidin derseichem. So these mitzvahs, by definition, are mitzvahs which are nimshachas. The more you're in the sukkah, the more you're in the tzitzit, the more you're in the tefillin, the better it is, because these mitzvahs are hechetim, these are vehicles to reach the state of lamans. So I'll call upon him. It could be that's the Rambam's justification for reciting the bracha afterwards. Because the Rambam held that lulav is also k'ain that. I'm holding on to the lulav. So the more that I'm still holding on to the lulav, that's still a mitzvah in shechus. The other thing is, it's not identical to the Rambam by tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. In what sense? How is it not identical? Because tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah, the Rambam says the nuscha bracha doesn't change. If a person put on the tzitzis, put on the tefillin, put on the sukkah, and now you remember a minute later, what bracha do you make? Make the same laniach, the same leishev, same lisatef, it's the same bracha. Because by those three mitzvahs, the Rambam holds, there's mamash akiyum hanimsheches. The more I'm wearing the tzitzis, the more I'm wearing the tefillin, the more I'm mamash fulfilling the mitzvah nimsheches. And therefore the bracha can relate to the mitzvah nimsheches shabbat. Whereas when it comes to lulav, the Rambam is almost walking a tightrope here. The Rambam is saying that there's no real mitzvah of nitilas lulav post the original hagbasa lulav. And therefore you can't say with a straight face, nitilas lulav, I'll smach anything you're doing in the future. On the other hand, lamaisa, you're still Isaac and a maisa for nitilas lulav. So since you're still Isaac and a maisa for the tilas lulav, one can still justify a recitation of a bracha at that point. So the Rambam is really, really walking a tightrope, but we don't want to make it too close to the three other mitzvahs, because then the nusach should reflect that, which it doesn't. So the Rambam is really taking on the Baalei HaTosfos in multiple ways. It's a major machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam, how this whole brisa is understood, this whole bit of tilas lulav is understood, the brachas, they knew of everything. B'tchil v'yatzayf, the Baalei HaTosfos were of the opinion, again, different Baalei HaTosfos, the Baalei HaTosfos of Psachim, were of the opinion that the Braisa is describing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. There's nothing wrong with Chachivash, not only nothing wrong, this is the way to be Yetzid Alamin. Pick it up first, you're Yetzid, then the Raisa, then make the Bracha Smach, then Anuim Osmach, the Anshu Shalayim, whatever you think. And again, even within that world of Taisus, we had to break down what the Nanuim are, what the Anshu Shalayim are, etc. That was one whole Gishah to the Sikh. Then you have the Rebbe Talmud Reish Bam, who said that the Braisa is frowning upon this. This is not really what you're supposed to be doing. This is if you forgot to do what you're supposed to. You forgot to shake, to turn the loop upside down, forgot to have the Bilui Kavona. So this is the next best option. And how does it work? How do we justify it? We have to pull out of our hats. The justification is, well, Kol Mitzvah Baruch Hu Nasa, it's okay with the Yevon. The Yevon is Ishkefer Lechavir, it's not Avdos Yosef. The Rambam described doing it in a lechatchila manner, but unlike Rabbi Tam and the Rashbam's kunsim, because Rabbi Tam and the Rashbam would turn the world upside down because they didn't know how to get over lasiyasan otherwise, because they couldn't envision for a second that you could have it on the table and pick it up. That they felt that was too over the edge. The Rambam wasn't bothered that b'chlam. So the Rambam, the Ikaro, was like the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rishbam, that were going to try to get the Brachim before, whereas the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rishbam had to come up with creative ways to do that. The Rambam didn't have to be too creative. It's on the table, pick it up and try to pull it out of the Shalom Yisrael. But then, the Rambam parts ways from Rishbam and Rabbeinu Tam. What if you didn't do what you're supposed to do? So Rabbeinu Tam and Rishbam said, okay, Nishkafelach, but the it's still good. The Rambam can't say that. And the last place the Rambam's going to rely on is on Anuim and Anshe Shalom. It's not even on, the Rambam didn't even dream of those things. The Rambam in Cairo, not even know those things. He wasn't even mechachez to those things. So then the Rambam has to explain, so why do you make your bracha afterwards? Which is what the Braisa says. The Braisa is b'di'evit, like the Shmarim Rabbeinu Tam. But the b'di'evit is, well, it's still like a mitzvah m'sheches. Is it really? Not really. Kind of. It's kind of like a mitzvah m'sheches vis-a-vis to let you make a bracha, but it's not identical, because then this bracha is changing. So the Rambam really had a very, very different picture of what's going on. So we have three different worlds as to how to live shach. We learn one line in the Gemara. We just learn one line in the Braisa. The Braisa says to make the bracha at a certain point. The Gemara says the reason why it's al is because with av bein nafik bein. And what that means, so you choose the bracha yivchar. Either you go down the root of the re, and even within the world of the re, there were two different nuances of what the re said. Each one has its own lumpness to it. Or you go down the world of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rishbam. Or you go down the world of the Rambam. It's three different possibilities. So I have two possibilities to how to divide up the sugya. So this sugya, if you noticed, was Birchas HaLulav, Birchas HaSukkah. So when I originally wrote the Marmikomis, I thought that each one was going to be short enough that we could combine it into one sugya, make it one big sugya. Then as the sugya was unraveling, I realized that maybe this is not such a good idea. Maybe these are really two totally separate sugyas. As we know, sukkahs and lulav are two separate mitzvahs. Even though according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to use dalad medium to build your sukkah, but we don't pass like that. So we all the mamash, two totally different mitzvahs. So I wasn't sure how it's going to play out here. So time would tell whether we're going to divide this into two sugyas or make it into one sugya. So here there's a little bit of a discrepancy between the Tosheb Chassav and Tosheb Apeh. In the Makaris, it's one sugya. It's all in the same sheet. But for Tosheb Apeh purposes, we're going to divide it into two sugyas. That's why Shia is officially over today. I think today is the last official day of the Shia. So we could say, for those who will not be joining us tomorrow, we could say we finished the sugya. For those of us who are who will be joining us tomorrow, so we're still in the middle of the sugya. So Abaycha Yivchar, whether this is one sugya or whether it's two sugya. So hopefully Hashem tomorrow, so we will continue with the sukkah dimension of not the little sukkah dimension of the sugya. Just in terms of scheduling, so as a okay, we'll turn this up now.